Food Court with Richard Blaise is a new podcast where I have guests bring me their food arguments so I can settle them once and for all. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take my word for it. Find Food Court with Richard Blaise on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mile High City and throughout Colorado.
You have a mic?
You're on the air.
Good, go ahead.
It is my high honor to introduce to you...
This is the Dan Kapla Show.
You better believe it.
Colin, you better believe that these orders taking away your liberty in major ways have not yet been fully justified by the governor or the mayor. And I want to talk about that a little bit later in the show. They may be justified, but they have to give us the information to prove that. And I'll tell you about one part of the order that definitely is not justified, and that's the one that quashes religious liberty in Colorado. In the meantime, hey, a privilege to have Senator Cory Gardner on the line with us. So much to talk about. But first, your health, Senator. I mean, how bizarre is it for you, because you're in the middle of things back there in D.C., pretty extraordinary for a freshman senator. But what's it like being in quarantine while all of this is going on?
You know, I have been able to focus more in quarantine because I don't have other meetings in the office that are taking me away from the exact subject on hand. And so I've probably bugged my colleagues over the last 5 days more than they have ever heard from me.
Yeah, it is unique. And I know a lot of folks are experiencing that right now. I mean, in some ways, you actually can get laser focused, and I think everybody can imagine the demands on your time, the different directions you're being pulled in. But let's focus, Senator, of course, on what's on top of most folks' mind, which is we have this historically large relief bill, this coronavirus stimulus bill that so many good folks now are relying on for the money they need just to stay afloat, and it's being held up by Democrats in the U.S. Senate. Can you update us on that?
It is unthinkable that the Senate has had in its hands for days now a bill that would have already provided Americans with real relief, put people back on payroll, and dollars going out. But because of a decision that people want same-day voter registration and they want to mess with voter ID laws when it comes time to vote, and they want emissions controls on airlines out of the Green New Deal included in this package, they have delayed this bill. The American people, you know, we joked about being in quarantine earlier. There are millions of Americans who are either quarantined or sick or self-isolated or caring for a loved one or out of work because their kids are out of school and they have to take care of them. They don't know how they're going to make ends meet. They don't know how they're going to pay their rent or their mortgage or keep their small business open. And yet you've got a bill that could have provided some certainty and answers that hasn't passed Congress. It is shameful.
Boy, it's bizarre to me, because are they really in such a bubble? And I'm referring to the Democrats here, because the simple facts are, it's not partisan. The simple facts are the Republicans had a bill. They had it ready to go. They recognize the urgency. And bring us inside of this, Senator, because my understanding from media reports is that a lot of Democrat senators were involved in putting this bill together. And the reporting is that it was all ready to go, and then Nancy Pelosi flew into town and imposed all of these other demands. Is that true?
Well, look, you have provisions that are written in this bill, major loan programs and help through the Federal Reserve and the Treasury that Senator Warner had his fingerprints all over. You have Chuck Schumer on Sunday praising how Republicans brought in Democrats early on in this process to work together. And now this should have been voted on Sunday.
Right.
Look, the fact that this isn't done, there are millions of people who've been laid off, who don't know how they're going to get back to work if the doors of their business open again.
Right.
And this bill provides them with relief and a chance to get this economy to snap back. But Nancy Pelosi, you're exactly right, and perhaps got others involved in this, are working on things that have nothing to do with COVID-19. The American people, they don't want to talk politics. They don't want to talk Republican or Democrat. They want to talk results and how they're going to get their family back on track, and that's why we have to do this bill.
Yeah, Senator Cory Gardner, obviously our guest, and when we went out on social with the fact you join us today, I've been getting texts from folks saying, hey, ask the senator this and that, but the common denominator, I think you've already addressed, at least in part. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, Alex, hey, yeah, Dan, please ask the senator what kind of pork spending they're trying to pack into this, and I think Americans get it right now, that you know, their fiscal lives are hanging in the balance. The Democrats are trying to load on pork. And is a lot of this, I've heard the president refer to it as well, coming back to the Green New Deal?
Well, you can see the talk that happened yesterday, where they wanted the emissions controls on airlines. And that certainly has to do with their efforts to eliminate. Remember, you have Green New Deal that wants to eliminate airplanes entirely. And so you can see the steps that they want to take. There are some other kinds of provisions that, you know, when it comes to renewable energy, I support renewable energy. I think most Coloradans support renewable energy. But that's not a reason to stop desperately needed aid from going to the people of our state who are out of work, who don't know what to do tomorrow, and they don't know what they're going to do today. Have that debate. But they, in fact, you know, they wouldn't even let us debate the measure.
Right.
They wouldn't even let us get on a bill to talk about these issues. They wouldn't even vote to say, okay, let's talk about the emissions that we need on airlines. Wouldn't even get that far.
Senator, has it reached the point in America where you've got people on the left, including some in leadership positions, who despise this president so much they'd rather just burn it all down to try to prevent him from getting reelected?
Look, I hope this is just something that Nancy Pelosi, how wrong she was, however wrong-headed she was in this decision, decided to do on her own. I don't think this reflects I hope it doesn't reflect the rank and file of her party. I hope it doesn't reflect the rank and file in the U.S. Senate. It's wrong, and it was wrong to hold this up, and the American people should hold them accountable for this, as they should hold anybody, Republican or Democrat, accountable for playing politics in a time of desperate need. And so, look, we're going to get through this. This is an incredible challenge that none of us have ever been through. We're going to get through it. We're going to be stronger than ever. We rise together, but we got to get through the kind of well, there's a word I could use. I'd probably get in trouble with you.
Well, it's being used a lot now these days. I think folks know what word that was going to be, Senator Gardner, I guess. Now, Senator, is this bill going to pass? If so, when?
Yes. I had been saying all day in the countless phone calls I've been doing with people who are out of work, people who are trying to save their business, that they would vote tonight. But apparently it's not going to be a vote tonight. It looks like it's going to be a vote tomorrow. There's just no excuse. This should have passed days ago.
Well, and I know, Senator, one question a lot of folks have been pondering, and I've been trying to picture you. You look very good in a suit. I've been trying to picture a hazmat suit. So let's say the unlikely event it comes down to your vote. How do you cast that vote in your current quarantine condition?
Well, this is how long they have stalled this bill. I will be voting on this bill now. I'll be out of quarantine.
Oh, man.
You think about the fact that I have been in here for a week and they haven't gotten this bill done.
Crazy.
So I will be voting tomorrow.
Oh,
you know, because my quarantine ends like at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, part of me is a little sad about that. I was picturing the drama, you know, one of those moments coming in the hazmat suit or whatever it took. But Senator Gardner, obviously our guest. So, okay, please tell folks what it means for them once this bill does pass, hopefully with it as limited pork as necessary to get it through. It should be none. But what's going to be in it for the folks of Colorado?
Yeah, so there's several provisions very important to the people of Colorado. There will be direct assistance to Coloradans. People will receive this based on their income. Wealthy people won't get this. It'll be means tested. That's a direct assistance up to, I think it's around $1,200 an individual, $2,400 for married couples, additional dollars for children. There will also be an increase in unemployment insurance benefits. This is an idea that I had been pushing and got incorporated in the bill, that this allows an existing program, a scalable program, to be used. Don't have to create anything new. But if people are, and it doesn't require you to be laid off. So if you're a COVID-19 sort of victim of reduced hours or because of COVID-19, you can go to unemployment insurance even if you haven't been terminated or furloughed and have benefits through the unemployment insurance office. This would create that kind of opportunity to get people back up and on their feet for businesses, small businesses. This allows a loan to a small business, 500 people or less, for 8 weeks, as long as that loan is used for payroll, to get people back on payroll, to pay them, to pay their health insurance, to pay rent, to pay mortgage. That portion of the loan that goes to those things will be forgiven. It's designed to get businesses rehiring, to keep their payroll already that they have, and to get this economy to snap back once this health emergency is over.
How long will it last? In other words, how much longer can the nation, can Colorado endure this kind of shutdown?
Well, look, I mean, you can see the cost. I mean, it's this package is, you know, somewhere around $2 trillion as it is. We have to do the smart thing for health. We have to do the smart thing to avoid the spread and to stop the spread, to flatten the curve. But we got to get this right, because this country, we can't go on like this forever.
Right. And it seems to me, and you know much better because you're in the middle of all these numbers, but it seems to me that this amount seems to be an amount that can help people survive this short-term hit. But boy, you would have to think this thing gets into May, June, July. How many $2 trillion packages can we have?
Well, that's just it. And I just got off the phone with Scott Gottlieb, who was the former FDA director, and we were talking about what he thinks will happen, you know, with the seasonality issues, this starts tailing off. But we also have another season that we're going to be going right back into. So what right. happens this fall, we have to be prepared, because we've done this once. We can't do this twice.
Exactly. And you've heard the president now, and I know how many demands there are in your time. We're grateful. I'll just ask you another question or two, if I may. I mean, we hear the president now talking in more concrete terms every day about a shorter timeline, about at this point now, you know, targeting Easter to have much of America reopened. How will you judge, Senator, and I know you to be a very compassionate, caring, loving, respectful of human life, smart guy, you know how to balance things. How will you personally determine where to strike this balance between the economic survival of individuals and the nation and public safety? Because we're never going to have perfect public safety.
Look, we have to listen to our health experts. We have to listen to our public health experts, the people who have said we're doing the right thing now to stop this spread. Because look, if we hit sort of the bottom end best case scenario projections of what could happen, so if we've done the right things, if we've got this right, we will still see a 95% utilization rate of every hospital in America. That's what I saw in one research paper that was done.
Yeah.
That's under the good things, the good outcome, right?
Yeah.
And so that is a huge challenge and burden. And we're seeing young people. I just got off with Dr. Gottlieb. Like I said, 56% of people in the hospital beds in New York are young. They're not,
right.
They're not, you know, your 70, 80, 90-year-old people. And so if we get this right, we will save lives. And that is absolutely critical.
Finally, what do the folks need to know that maybe isn't in the news enough or isn't being talked enough about, specifically when it comes to Corona?
Yeah, look, we're going to get through this. I think that's the bottom line. We are going to get through this. We're going to get through this together and united. And we have to remind each other that we're self-quarantining and self-isolating and doing these things not out of fear, but we're doing it out of love. We're doing out of love for one another, for our communities, for our parents, our grandparents, because we want to stop this and do the right thing. And so I think that's something that we have to remember. This isn't out of fear. This is out of love for our nation, and to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our nation to get it back on its feet. And then the other thing is just that help is on the way with this legislation, but it needs to pass. And so any word they can put out there to support the legislation is critically important, because we need to get this relief on its way now to the people of Colorado and this country.
Well, appreciate your time today. Congrats on getting out of quarantine in time for hopefully a vote tomorrow morning, and look forward to the next conversation.
Thanks very much, Dan. Thanks.
Thank you. That is Senator Cory Gardner. Appreciate his time today. Anxious to hear from you. 855-405-8255, the number. We'll have a much longer stretch of time after the news break at the bottom, and then we'll get all of our callers in. But quick recap, based upon the president's comments today, what you just heard from the senator, et cetera, clearly the president now is focused on shortening the time frame for opening the country. And as he mentioned, you know, we'll have parts of the country opened before other parts, but I would expect that on this current pace, most of America will be much more open for business than it is today, certainly before Easter, but how much sooner? And then a big question you know, to what extent will the governors cooperate? And that brings us back to Colorado. And out of the news break, we're really going to drill down, you know, this goofy order out of Denver, this 24-page order from Mayor Hancock, which is already a national laughingstock because just an hour after it's issued, we get this emergency bulletin. Oh, doesn't apply to pot shops because you have these long, long lines forming around pot shops and liquor stores, too, to be fair about it. But my goodness, I mean, let's get serious, okay? And above all, and I want to talk with you about this after the break, you know, trust the people. Well, forget that. Don't trust the people. You owe it to the people, Mr. Mayor. You owe it to the people, Governor, to give the people the facts right now so they can decide for themselves whether what you are doing is too much or not enough or maybe just right. But give them the facts. And when you go day after day after day with the same public officials who are taking away your liberty, taking away your ability to go out and practice your faith, to go out and bury your dead. Think about that. The same people taking this away from you will not give you the facts you need to evaluate their actions real time. That's trash. That's garbage. I mean, the people of the state need to rise up. I understand it has to be electronically, but need to rise up and say, we're not going to be treated that way. Show us your models. Show us your models. Show us how many people in Colorado die every day from the regular flu so we can make some comparisons. But above all, show us your models. What are you seeing? What are you projecting that justifies shutting down the restaurant industry, that justifies, even more important as that is, you know, taking away people's ability to practice their faith together, including funerals? What are you seeing? And is it really there? We'll talk about that more after the break on the Dan Kaplis Show. All right, glad you're here. A lot of important stuff to talk about, like your rights being taken away, and can they justify that? Why won't Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock give you the facts, share with you the data that they are relying on to deprive you of these fundamental rights, to shut down restaurants across Colorado, more importantly, to shut down churches as a practical matter? And how does Governor Polis ever begin to justify essentially shutting down the community practice of faith in Colorado for weeks at a time, including Holy Week and Easter? How do you possibly justify that when he's not shutting down pot shops? When he's leaving other than restaurants and certain other retail that are being severely affected but are smaller in number, essentially the vast majority of retail in Colorado is free to operate. And you see these long lines around the pot shops. It's such open hostility toward faith. It's so offensive. It's so insulting. Think about it. People all over Colorado who have loved ones die today, yesterday, tomorrow, they can't give them a proper funeral because Jared Polis says they can't. That's garbage. You've got to trust the priest and the bishops and the rabbis and the imams as much as you trust the pot shop operators, Governor. Don't view them as stupid little children who can't be trusted to conduct their ceremonies in a safe way. You trust the pot shop operators to make sure that you don't overcrowd an environment. You're telling me you can't trust the local imam, you can't trust the local rabbi, you can't trust the local priest or bishop to make sure that there are proper limitations placed on numbers and spacing? This is outrageous. It's so arrogant. It's so fundamentally, intentionally. This could not have happened by accident. Other states, take Michigan, for example. They have a similar shutdown. They accept faith. They allow faith to go out and practice your faith responsibly. You can practice your dope buying responsibly, but Jared Polis won't trust you with practicing your faith responsibly. It's sick. It's an outrage. Colorado should not stand for it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have lots to talk about. Want to get everybody on this afternoon. Tony and Conifer, you're on the Dan Kaplis Show. Welcome.
Hey, Dan, I'm glad you brought that up because I started tweeting about that yesterday, did some research on the law, and I was like, wait a minute. The governor has to justify his authority before he can even enforce these laws, because it has to be based on health, and it has to be on the aspect that a person is a public health risk. It can't, he just can't say, oh, you can't do that. If we don't actually do the research and find out the facts, our rights are going to be taken away from us by liberals.
Well, but Tony, and this issue crosses all party lines. Think about it. The same governor who's taken away that right to bury your loved ones today, that same right to go celebrate Good Friday and more, and celebrate Easter. That same governor won't give you the facts. I mean, according to Channel 9, and we've been working hard to find it, and we think we backdoored 1 year. According to Channel 9, the state's refusing to release the data on how many people die from the flu each year in Colorado, how many adults die from the flu. Why are they refusing to release that data? Well, the 1 year.
They allow us to have abortion. Some states allow suicide. But this, where you decide to practice your faith, well, you know what? I think we need to do some civil disobedience and see where the governor lands in court.
Well, I am not
violent, civil disobedience without violence, and say, take me and show me where you denied my due process.
Well, and here's where I come down on civil disobedience, okay? First is it has to be peaceful and nonviolent.
Yes.
It cannot jeopardize the lives and safety of others. And whoever's engaging in it has to be willing to do the time. They have to be willing to pay the price. Jared Polis is telling you right now that if a loved one dies and you want to have a proper funeral, and let's say you put 100 people in a church that normally holds 500, you're all subject to up to a year in jail. Now, would he actually enforce that? But
well,
just think how outrageous
what,
the and understand
that.
Understand at the same time, Tony, this is the same Jared Polis who isn't, and I haven't heard it anyway, isn't saying a peep about New York, you know, sending in how many plane loads a day of people trying to escape New York, seeding Colorado with folks who've been in New York. Hey, Tony, appreciate the call. I've got to try to get everybody on. We have jammed lines. Thank you, my friend. Let's go to Alan in Littleton. You're on the Dan Kaplis Show. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Dan. On religion not being given an exception, I agree with you completely. On marijuana being given an exception, I agree completely. However, on liquor stores being given an exception from the order, there is actually a very good reason for that that exists, and I'm going to tell it to you. You know how when someone who is an alcoholic goes a very long time without having a beer or some form of alcohol, they go into withdrawal. A lot of times that withdrawal can be deadly or require them to fill a hospital bed, a bed that's currently needed for a COVID patient. Keeping the liquor stores open provides them a way of receiving what they need without having to go to the hospital for it.
You need a better ringtone, my friend. And it's Alex, right? Not Alan?
It is Alex.
This is Alex, yeah. Alex, thank you for that point. Listen, you don't hear me right now being critical of any of the exceptions. I mentioned pot to make the preposterous point, how outrageous this governor is, the freedom to make sure people are 6 feet away from each other, but he won't allow that to bishops or rabbis. That's how hostile he is to faith. I don't have a complaint. I have a complaint with the legalized marijuana industry, but as long as it's legal, I don't have a complaint with them being open now. I don't have a complaint with liquor stores being open now. The problem we have right now is because this governor won't share the critical facts publicly, we have no way to evaluate whether his shutdown is justified at all, whether it's not enough, whether it's just right. And normally when people hide facts from you, it's for a reason, right? So I think people are very justified in being very suspicious about whether any of this shutting down the whole restaurant industry. Governor Polis has to show us the facts to even begin to justify that. I mean, look, I wish there were zero deaths. The Denver Post reporting we have 10 deaths in Colorado this year from corona. I wish there were none. But Colorado will not release, according to Channel 9, will not release the number of adult flu deaths in Colorado. I guess Alex got tired of that. Thank you, Alex, for the call, though. We'll go to Steve in Denver. So, yes, I wish there were no deaths, but even though Colorado won't release the number, we think we've been able to backdoor the 2017 number through a group that collects public data and analyzes it, a group called Live Stories. And they're reporting 577 adult flu deaths in Colorado in 2017. And I wish there were none. But are we cutting off religious liberty, undermining the state's economy for what sits at right now 10 deaths in Colorado from corona? And maybe it is justified because maybe they have a model that shows this rapidly doubling, tripling. As we all know, it's the exponential growth of a virus like this that can become so dangerous. But they're not sharing that information with us. They're not sharing their models. They're not even sharing at this point, at least according to Channel 9, how many adults die from the flu in Colorado each year. Why would that be? Why would they not want to share that information? Let's go to the phone line. Steve in Denver, you're on the Dan Kaplan Show. Welcome.
Oh, good afternoon, Dan. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you.
Just about all the time. And I have to say, I've been born in this country. I came from a communist country about 48 years ago. And this is all about the communism. This might be the pandemic and all that stuff came about, but this is helping them, and they're taking all the advantage that they can to get the big city people voting for them, because they're handing out a couple of $1,000s, and they're happy because they can buy their marijuana and their beer, and maybe they can go to the Rocky game, and that's all about it is.
Yeah, interesting, Steve. In terms of the economic impact, and when people do something that seems real odd, then you have to look at motive issues. And so this really strange 24-page order Mayor Hancock handed down that's going to cause so much economic turmoil in Denver. Well, one thing is he's term limited, so he's not standing for re-election again anywhere. We know that the left in general, and I'm not saying that's the motive here, but we can't be naive. The left in general, the more people dependent on government, the better from the left standpoint, because those people are more likely, the left believes, to vote for Democrat candidates. I'm not ascribing any of those motives to anybody. My issue is this. If you're going to take away these kind of freedoms, you darn well better have a compelling reason, and you owe it to the people to give them the facts that support it. And so far, they have not done that.
No, and also, people don't understand. It's all economic. They got our kids brainwashed on going on every day.
Well, my friend, Stephen, I'm sorry to interrupt. I very much appreciate the call and the perspective. Somebody who's come from a communist country, want to try to get everybody in. Let's go to Mike from Denver as well. And listen, when I say, hey, I'm not getting into the motives game here, because you don't even have to. You can see that they're not willing to provide the facts to justify this kind of infringement on freedoms. But there's one exception to that rule. I am ascribing motives when it comes to Governor Polis. Governor Polis has shown a hostility toward faith. And he, the day after he was elected, came out and said, people of faith, keep your faith outside the public square. What could be more insulting? What could be more demeaning? What could be more arrogant and elitist? Well, this could be. When all of a sudden, given the first excuse, you know, which he won't even show us his models on, this virus, what does he do? He shuts down the public expression of faith in Colorado. No more than 10 people can gather together. So you want to bury your dead? Jared Polis says, screw you. At the same time, he lets the pot stores operate freely. I mean, so there is a hostility toward faith from Governor Polis. He's shown it in multiple ways. And the people need to reverse this. Go ahead, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dan. I'm the guy that called you last week about the constitutionality of the governor's edict.
Yeah.
I still believe he's unconstitutional for multiple reasons. And I think in that particular instance, we need to take a look at some of the data. We got 72 people that have been hospitalized in the state of Colorado. We have 10 deaths. We have nobody who's died in any of the Denver local counties. Most of them are either in El Paso or Weld or one of the other.
I think there was a Littleton man who died today. This is, you wouldn't know it, my friend, because it just came down.
Okay, but in that particular instance, that's still not in Denver for the mayor to come out and say what he's doing. I'm an Uber driver, and I deal with people that are being put out of work, and many of them, they want to go back to work, and they see no reason why they can't go to work. Many of them are being laid off. They have the fear that they can't pay their bills. And then we've got the Senate, as you talked with the senator earlier, you know, about what's going on in the Senate and how they're trying to lard up all the bills. You look at it and say, they really don't care about the basic person. And I have one other question, and that is, where is Michael Bennett?
We've been asking that question for how many decades? No, I mean, seriously, the guy is hid under his desk.
At least, yeah.
Except for popping out like on Groundhog Day to run for president. I mean, when it comes to the people of Colorado, the guy's hid under his desk forever.
So, you know, in that particular instance, we've got to start asking questions. How do we put limitations on these emergency powers where these guys think they have unlimited powers? Do we need to have a constitutional amendment? Do we need to have a referendum that limits it and defines the process that has to go through the House of Representatives and the House and the Senate in the state of Colorado in an emergency bill that gives them the authority to do this? Because it seems like they're all going to overreach and continue to try to do things that impede the general life of each of the individuals.
My friend, appreciate your strong point. Appreciate the call. You've been consistent on this all along. Let me wrap up the show this way. Think about it, and extending Mike's point. Right now, under these emergency powers, look at what the governor's done to faith and the practice of faith. Look what he's done to the restaurant industry, the whole hospitality industry. Look at the ripple effect on all of this, on so many good people, and yet, where's the justification? Hey, we're all good people across party lines, across all the lines people usually use to try to divide us. People are good. And if, in fact, this was necessary for public safety, the vast majority of people would support it. But right now, they're not giving us the data. And you have to ask yourself the question, which I think answers itself, why aren't they giving us the data? Why aren't they showing us their models, their projections? According to Channel 9, they won't even give them the number of adults who die from the flu each year in Colorado. Why not? I suspect, I could be wrong. I mean, we won't know unless and until we see the data. But I suspect it's because the data would not support this kind of crackdown. It would not support depriving people of their ability to practice their faith together, which is so inherent in so many different faiths, to bury their dead. I mean, can you imagine the life you've lived, all the good you've tried to do, everything in life, the people who love you, because of Jared Polis, if God forbid, you know, you passed away tonight, your family couldn't have your friends at a funeral. You know, you could have 10 people at most at a funeral because Jared Polis says so, but you can pack as many as you want into a pot shop. No, that's oppressive. He can't begin to justify that for a second. So, show us the models. Who knows? If we saw the models, we might all say, hey, Jared, you're not doing enough. I kind of doubt that. I think if we saw the models, we'd say, what the blank are you doing? What about all these good people being put out of work in the restaurant industry, the ripple effect of that? All the people who can't practice their faith, all of the other economic consequences, all the kids who can't study in school. Yeah, they got to justify this kind of thing. And have they? I mean, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but I really love your take on this. Think about this overnight, if you would. Have they really justified this to you? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they've even come close to that. So, wow. We have a ton of hot sound from the day we didn't even get to because of all that's been happening here. Appreciate Senator Gardner being with us. You can pick that up if you weren't here for the conversation. He joined us at 5:06. You can pick it up off the podcast. And we all know we're likely to have that stimulus bill by tomorrow, but I sure hope that this has sunk into America, that at a moment like this, not a normal moment, but at a moment of urgency like this, the Democrats held that bill up for days to try to get pork into it. I believe personally that's going to sink in for Americans because this is not a normal moment. At the same time, the threat is not the same every place in the country. We are not New York. And if we really were under that kind of threat, why would the governor not be screaming bloody murder about all these flights coming into Colorado every day from New York with hundreds of people? Why wouldn't he be protesting that? Instead, he stomps on freedom of religion in the state? No, that's wrong. Let's talk about it more tomorrow on the Dan Kaplis Show.